Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Every Nation online service. My name is Sheen. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. You know, we're in the middle of a sermon series called Rising. And, you know, we're here to celebrate in a couple of weeks the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, he's alive and well, sitting at the right hand of the Father in power. And so in this series, Pastor Ron kicked us off talking about faith. You know, it's impossible to please God without faith. Pastor Nathan came back, preached the following week on devotion. You know, once we get faith in our heart, you know, we got to be devoted to God. We got to sell out and serve him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And today I'm going to be talking about rising in evangelism. You know, when you think about evangelism, man, you know, sometimes we think of a person on a street corner with a picket sign yelling, turn or burn. But that's not the God that we serve. You know, we serve a God of love, a God that will engage anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere. But we want that same spirit. And another thing I know about evangelism is this: if it's not rooted in love, it can get weird, it can get strange, and it can get out of order. And so today we want to focus on what evangelism really is. Evangelism, and the definition I have here is this. It says that it is the spreading of the gospel by public preaching or personal witness. You know, evangelism has to be rooted in love. But it also has to be rooted in a personality, like what God did for me. You know, there's something nobody can take away as your personal testimony. And I'll get to that. You know, there's all types of evangelism. Yes, we think about the outdoor preaching, people getting up in parks and places and preaching the gospel open air. You know, I did that for a season as a young campus minister on college campuses. They would stick us in a courtyard and say, man, share your testimony, preach the gospel. You know what? Some people did get saved, but most of all was to kind of get fear off of us, to get us a little bit more bold in our faith. You know, there's another style. Maybe it's door to door. You've seen people kind of go from house to house, knock on a door, maybe give someone a Bible or something and tell them about the love of Jesus. You know, there's the lifestyle preaching, if you will, of evangelism, where you just let your light shine. You know, you really never say anything, but you just kind of let your light. It's all by action, not doing or opening up your mouth, if you will. And then the last one is maybe it's relational. You know, you just kind of are friending somebody into the kingdom. When we say friending, you know, it's just, you know, being nice and being kind and letting people see, man, what is it about you? Why are you so nice? Especially here in New York, in the East Coast. People are always looking at us like, what is this all about? What is this all about? But we're talking about evangelism today. And if you have a Bible, you can turn to Acts chapter 10. And we're going to be in verses 23 through 39. And this is a powerful story about Peter. You know, if you remember Peter in the Bible, you know, Peter was kind of out there, if you will. Peter always put his foot in his mouth, was always going ahead of God, you know. And sometimes, you know, God would say some things to him to kind of correct him. What I love about Peter was that Peter was zealous. He was bold. He was willing to take chances and risk. And, you know, that's the thing about evangelism, that we do have to be bold and we do have to take risk. But at the root of everything, if you hear me today, you have to love God and you have to love people in order for this to work. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this brief moment in the word. God, we ask that you'd open our hearts, open our minds to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. It says this in Acts chapter 10, verse 23. It says, the next day Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. I want you to really think about that. Called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met with them and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I am only a man myself. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. Once again, gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising an objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, At 3 p.m, suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now, we are all here. Remember, we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. Now I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message of God sent to the people is of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all. You know what happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism John preached, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And it says this, this is it. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said this, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They then received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. The power of God. You know, here you see something supernatural taking place. You see the heart of God. See, God loves everybody. He loves every man. He loves every woman. He loves every child because we are his creation. You know, before all this was taking place, you know, there had been a little bit of breakthroughs happening where it was some cross-cultural evangelism, if you will, because at the time it was just strictly happening in Jerusalem. Philip the evangelist was going out and winning people from Samaria. Revival was breaking out. He also led an Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord. And here, all of a sudden, now we have another breakthrough. God is moving and he's ministering to a man by the name of Cornelius. And see, Cornelius, the significant thing about Cornelius was a God-fearing man, which meant that he was converted similarly over to the Jewish culture. And that he began to understand a little bit about the one true God. But there was more. There was more for him to know. And see, Peter being stubborn in his ways, just like old Peter. Peter telling Jesus that he can't go to the cross. And what did Jesus tell to him? Get behind me, Satan. Jesus telling Peter, Peter telling Jesus, you know what? Not only are you going to wash my feet, but you need to wash all of me. And Peter's, hey, you don't understand what's going on here. And so once again, Jesus having to communicate to Peter, because days before Peter was sitting on a roof and all of a sudden this vision came and God began to speak to him about what is unclean to him and what shouldn't be unclean. And Peter, not really understanding the vision, all of a sudden these men came that you just read about here, sent from Cornelius's house. And Cornelius, being a God-fearer, a man of under authority, had authority, sent these people to get Peter to come tell more about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the beauty of it is this. One was praying, the other one was praying. And the thing about evangelism is this. Evangelism always starts in prayer. And that's my first point. Evangelism always starts in prayer. So as you and I are on our face, calling on the Lord for our relatives, for our friends, asking God to move, you know what? They're over there praying as well. God, help me. I'm in a calamity. I'm in disaster. So much is going on in my life and society right now. I don't know what to do. So our prayers are being offered up. Things are being said to the Lord. God is listening to the unsaved and he's listening to the saved. And he's looking to bring them two together. The Bible says this in Luke 6, 12 through 13. One day, soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray. And he prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all his disciples and chose 12 of them to be their apostles. Now, listen to this. Jesus, before he did anything, before he began to choose people, he prayed. You know, when you begin to call on the Lord, when you pray and you begin to ask God, Lord, I'm praying for this man. I'm praying for this woman. God is going to answer your prayer. And you know what? You're going to be the answer. He's going to send you. So many times we say, Lord, fix this, fix that. Man, the social injustice. Oh, this situation with COVID. Oh, this political thing. You know what? God is listening to our prayers, but he's also saying this. I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you to be the answer to the problem. And, you know, here it was, Cornelius crying out to the Lord. God, you know what? I want to know more about you. I'm doing this and I'm doing that, but I know there's more. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, go ask this person. You know, God will speak to somebody about you or I. They'll say, you know what? You need to go talk to this person. You need to go talk to that person. Because you know why? We have the answer to life. And his name is Jesus. The other prayer and the other promise in the Bible in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And this is the money line. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You know, when we're praying, we're not just praying to a God that is not alive. Our God is alive in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father in power, looking to use somebody, looking to do something through somebody. You know, he wants to send you to a place to tell people about him. And Peter now is being commissioned to go talk to somebody that doesn't look like him, that doesn't talk like him. And my next point is this, is that you need to be ready. And you have to stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And Peter, sitting on a house, praying, minding his own business, gets a vision. God speaks to him, sends some people to him. Now he's sitting there like, oh no, these Gentiles are standing at my door. I have no business talking to a Gentile, but you know what I'm here to tell you? You need to be ready. You need to be ready for God to answer that prayer for that wayward son or daughter. You need to be ready for God to answer the prayer when you're praying for the Muslim, for the Buddhist, for the one next door. You need to be ready because at any moment, God can send that man or woman to you via text message, via email, or maybe just knocking on the door, just like these men. Now, what was so significant about it is because Gentiles had no business talking to Jews. Matter of fact, Jews looked down on Gentiles because, you know what, they were considered unclean. Even the word dog was being thrown around. We don't associate with these people. And you know what, in society right now, that is the trump card of the enemy. We don't associate with people that don't look like us, don't talk like us, don't dress like us. But I'm here to call the devil a liar today. It's time for you and I to step out in faith and share the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who don't know him, people who are broken, people who are down and out, people who have lost jobs, people that have lost their children, people who have gotten COVID. There are people that are broken right now that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you and I are the answer, and we must be ready. You got to be ready. Peter's on the roof praying, minding his business, getting ready to have lunch. And have you ever noticed that God usually brings the answer in the most busiest times of our life? We got so much going on, man. I got stuff going on in my own life. I let alone have time to go help somebody else. But God doesn't care. God is a God that does what he wants when he wants. And right here in this moment, he wanted this man Cornelius, not only Cornelius, but his relatives and his friends to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. See, God was trying to get something through to these apostles, to these men of God that are going around telling the good news. This is not just for you, but this is for the whole entire world. This is for everybody. This word that I'm telling you, that you've experienced, that you've been around, is for everybody. It says this, be ready. Matthew 9:37-38, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. You know what? It is you that God is going to send into the harvest field. And I'm here to tell you right now, the harvest is plentiful and it is ripe right here in New York City. It is ripe in these boroughs. It is ripe in these tri-state region. It is ripe right now. People are looking for answers. You're the answer. And you have the answer. And his name is Jesus Christ. It says that he's going to send out laborers. God is looking for somebody who's willing to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, it is good news. It is good news that you don't have to live the way that you've been living. It is good news that, you know what, you can turn from sin and turn to God. It is good news that you can leave the past behind. It's good news. But you have to be ready. You have to be ready. You know what I love about our church right now is we are getting ready because there's a word over our church that revival is coming. And so right now we're focusing, we're being intentional on the word discipleship. So it's not just, hey, I'm going to be a disciple. No, I need to make disciples. And you know, Easter's coming and we're getting our homes prepared to have these areas where people can come and gather just like people we're gathering right there in Cornelius's house. See, we want to open up our homes, our backyard, our parks for people to come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, to hear the good news, just like Peter preached the word of God to relatives, to family, to friends. He did it for a reason. And it was amazing that Cornelius had the faith to say, you know what? I know how good this God is. I got to bring others in on it. And it's time for you and I to bring people to the online service. It's time to bring people to the Connections course. It's time to bring people to our Connect groups. It's time to bring people to a one-on-one meeting so that they can encounter the living God, just like Cornelius and his people encountered the living God. I'm here to tell you, saints, it's our time, it's our season, it's time for evangelism to arise in our house. Stop being scared. Stop letting people tell you what you can and can't do. God is with you. He's for you. And if you got faith in your heart and you got breath in your lungs, then God can breathe on you and use you to do something great. I know I'm preaching real good.
You are, you know.
Oh, God. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy, it says, preach the word, be prepared in season and in out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. It said be prepared in season. It said be prepared out of season. You know, I'm telling you right now, you have to be ready. The season is now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to, well, you know, let me clean myself up. No, if you got a testimony, God wants you to use it. If you've gone through something, God wants you to use it. But you know what? You have to have the ability and the boldness and the love to be able to tell people about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My third point is this, is you have to preach the gospel. So many times, man, we get around our friends and we just like to hang out. And I want to sit here on this topic for a minute. There's nothing wrong with building a relationship. There's nothing wrong with walking your dogs with people. There's nothing wrong with, you know what, going and riding your bikes with people. There's nothing wrong with going and doing these classes, you know, who got people, yoga class. I'm just throwing it out there. You know, people doing all these classes together. But you know what? Comes a moment when you're going to have to open your mouth and you're going to have to tell people why you act the way you act, why you live the way you live, why you listen to this, why you go here, why you go there. Eventually, you're going to have to preach the word of God. The Bible says this in Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. All means all. So, man, I'm telling you right now, if you got people from Asia, Africa, Latin America, Europe, the Middle East, wherever, preach the word of God to them. Tell them about the love of Jesus. Tell them that Jesus is alive. Tell them that God loves them and cares about them and wants them to live a good, healthy, clean life for him. You know, in order for us to do this as well, to preach the gospel, it's going to take a little bit of power. It's going to take a little bit of power in our lives. And you know, before Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave the disciples a word. He says this, but you will be, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all of Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. You'll receive power. You know, this power that he's talking about is the power of the Holy Spirit. And we as a church, we can no longer be afraid of the power of God. So many times we shy away from talking about this power. But you know, the only thing that the devil respects is power. He's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of me, but he's afraid of Jesus and he's afraid of that power. And so when we come in the power and in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Ghost, something begins to happen. Things begin to shake. Things begin to quake. Things begin to break. Just like Peter in this house, he began to preach the word of God. The Spirit of God fell on him, and it said they began to speak in tongues. You know, the power of God is real, and we need the power of God if we're going to change society. No longer can we go around and just, hey, you know, be nice, be friendly. There comes a time where you got to be bold in who you are and what God has called you to be and do. And God is looking for that opportunity to move through you and I in power. And one of those ways that we demonstrate his power is that when we pray, God answers. And I'm challenging you right now to go ahead and pray for the sick and let God heal them. Go ahead and step out in faith and let God do something great through you, because everything is on the promises of God, so that his power can be released to demonstrate who he is, that he is the one true living God who is risen. Power. And we can't just stay in our comfort zones. We can't just stay in our little neighborhoods and just, hey, you know, hang out with people that look like, talk like, act like. You know what? Your connect group should look like your church. And I'll say that again. Your connect group should look like your church. That means that you need to bringing people from every tribe and every tongue, getting in the word of God, praying for one another and applying that word and saying, you know what? Let's do life together. Just show people that we can get along as different ethnicities and different cultures. And see, that's what was breaking in this house. The things that the world was saying can't happen was beginning to happen because of the power of God. Jew and Gentile coming together. God being a respecter of no man. My gospel, my word, my blood is for all. Peter being stunned by this, all he could do was say, you know what? I guess this is for everybody. Let's run the bath water. Let's run the bath water. Let's go ahead and baptize them in the name of Jesus, because you know what? The same spirit that fell on us on the day of Pentecost is falling in this room. And you know what? We got to be obedient. Yes, they got saved. Now it's time for them to be baptized. What I love about God in this whole thing is that, yes, they got saved. They hadn't hit the water yet, but they got filled with the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't matter. God, just get right. Get your life right. Allow the Holy Spirit to come and dwell inside of you. Be born again. And you know what? Everything else will fall into place. But you know what? The thing I love about these people is that they had faith. And God is drawn to faith, because you know what? Cornelius was just bringing them. Come here. Come in this house. Come hear what this man has to say. And you know, it took faith for them to leave where they were and to come and hear this word of God. And you know what? They got blessed because of it. And I'm here to say this. You know what? Sometimes you do have to get up and you got to go to a place where there's faith, where something's going on, where it's not dead, where people are lifting up holy hands. They're shouting. They're giving God the high praises. There's something supernatural is taking place. And the one sign and wonder is that there's every tribe and tongue in the room doing it together under the Lord Jesus Christ. And my last point is this, is that you got to testify. See, after this happened, Peter had to go back to Jerusalem. And there was some so-called religious people waiting on him to rebuke him. How dare you go talk to the Gentiles? But Peter, being bold, hey, let me tell you what happened. I shared my story. I talked about Jesus. And you know what? The same spirit that fell on us on the day of Pentecost fell on them. And God began to show me something, that this gospel is for everybody. He had to go back and testify. He had to tell people what happened in Cornelius's house. And you know what? All those men in the room began to shift their thinking and their perspective. And begin to realize this gospel is for everybody. Testify. You know, the Bible says this in Revelation 12:11, and they have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Some of y'all out there have a testimony. And you haven't shared your testimony in weeks, in months, some of us in years. But your story is the thing that can unlock a man or woman's heart to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We must testify during this time about what God has done in our lives, how he's shifted things, how he's done things, how he's resurrected things, how we shouldn't be alive, we should be dead. But the mercy of God, he's come through on our behalf and he's done something significant. We got to testify. We have to tell people about Jesus Christ because he's the answer. Evangelism. All this must be done because we love him and we love people. Because if we do this any other kind of way, it gets strange and it gets weird. No, I'm willing to risk it all because I love God and I realize what he's done for me. And I'm willing to do what needs to be done because I love people, his creation. It's the love of God. And so right now where you are, whether you're in the home or in your apartment or you're out walking in the park, my prayer right now is that God would give you the boldness to begin to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That you would stop hiding. Stop making excuses of why you can't. And start saying, yes, I can. Because greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. And God is looking through and for some vessels that he can begin to send in this season. We are in a revival state, saints. God is getting ready to do something great right here in Every Nation, New York City. He's getting ready to move. He's getting ready to turn this place upside down. And you know what? I want to be in the game. I want to be a part of it. I don't want God to pass by me. I want his spirit to drop on my house. Use my wife. Use my children. Use my finances. Use whatever you want to use for the glory of God. I want revival to come to Every Nation, New York City. Stop by 414. Don't pass us by. Come to Connecticut. Come to Jersey, come to Pennsylvania, come to the boroughs. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place because we need revival. We need men and women born again. We need Wall Street turned around. We need the educational system turned. We need all these places, the medical field. We need arts and entertainment. We need sports. We need it all for the glory of God in this season. And I'm telling you, if you rise up in faith, if you rise up in devotion, if you rise up in evangelism, God will move through this house like never before. Can I get an amen behind that screen today? In Jesus' name. God, I thank you for this word today. I give you praise today. God, I thank you that you're visiting Every Nation, New York City. God, I thank you that you're raising up the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher in this season. That you're raising in us not just to sit on the sideline, but to get in the game and to be used by you, God. Oh, Lord, help us to pray the way you want us to pray. Oh, Lord, help us to be ready, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm praying in this hour that you'd use us afresh. God, let us not sit around and make excuses, but let us preach this word with all boldness, God. And Lord, I'm praying in Jesus' name that, Lord, we would testify of all the good things that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen, amen and amen. I want to say thank y'all behind that screen and just people that are watching. But this is the deal. It's our time as a church to be ready and to evangelize. Tell people about our Lord, our God, Jesus Christ. Easter's coming, and I'm challenging you, gather people, bring them into your home, wherever you want to meet up, and tell them, hey, God's got something good for you to hear. Be blessed and have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the weekend.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.